And here we go.
You better get a lawyer, son. You better get a real good one.
Yeah.
You better get a lawyer, son.
It is Thursday morning, and over the last few weeks, we've been talking to the boys from Highway Advocates. It's a legal organisation that was introduced to us by Rod Hanafy, the president of the National Road Freighters Association, because here's a bloke, Rod Hanafy, has been driving nearly, 30, 40 years, and he needed Highway Advocates. And he told me all about them. He said they helped me out. They got me out of a legal pickle. I got a fine, and I was going to lose demerit points for something I did not believe I deserved. And these guys were unbelievable. They went to court for me, and we got a great result. So therefore, I met Robert Bell, who's been a truckie for many, many years, and his offsider is Adam Cockayne, who is a criminal lawyer. And together, they started Highway Advocates, especially for you guys and girls who need help, who believe that you have been mistreated by the law or by the laws you're governed by, and you know, you pay a fine, you go to court, you lose demerit points, and so many people say, I'll just do it. And you've got to live with that for the rest of your life. It's on your record. The message, loud and clear, from Highway Advocates is, if you believe you've been treated badly, do not pay the fine. Contact Highway Advocates and let us see if we can't get you off. Robert Bell joins me now. G'day, buddy.
G'day, g'day. How are you, Luke?
Good, mate. I hear you had some fun with Adam Shan last week. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had a bit of a giggle, a bit of lots of callers and a lot of stuff went on, yeah.
That's very, very good. Robert, you know Adam today. Adam couldn't be with us, but Robert, you started Highway Advocates. How many years were you behind the wheel?
Probably over 20 or so, 20, 25 years, give and take. I did a few other different things, but I started out driving trucks. A lot of the older drivers here will remember this. My first interstate trip was from the Sunshine Coast to Sydney in a cab over Leda with a six-cylinder, what they call a 3306 Caterpillar motor. It was like driving a Massey Ferguson down the road. but it went okay, but they were the Leaders were trucks that used to be made in Australia out at Toowoomba.
Leader trucks. And do they still make them?
No, long gone now. Yeah. But, a few of the older fellas listening tonight will know what I'm talking about.
And that was 25 years ago.
That was long. That was back in the early 80s.
Oh, it was a long, long time ago.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And you decided there was a need for legal representation for people who drive for a living because in your experience, there are lots of occasions where you cop a fine and possibly demerit points and it's just not fair.
Oh, absolutely. What started off for me, Luke, was... and a lot of the guys will know this because we field a lot of inquiries about this. The Mount White Southbound Weybridge. It's probably
now, this is a national program. So explain for our listeners around Australia what you're talking about.
I do know we're a national program. I get calls from all over the country. So the Mount White Weybridge is the Weybridge north of Sydney, sort of up near Gosford, and it's the southbound one as you're heading towards Sydney. Now what's happened there is the entrance. It cuts into those big rocks, I suppose you call them. They're on the expressway, and it's the old Pacific Highway. So when drivers coming south, even though there's some signs saying trucks must keep left, etc., but you can't see the Weybridge from the road. So there's just a little cutting there off the main expressway.
Mm.
And when I was coming down in my B-double there from Brisbane one time, there's a big illuminated sign out on the highway said closed. I thought, all right, then it's closed. I won't go in. I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the safety cam takes a picture. You get the fine. You take it to court. I took it all the way up to the district court on appeal. Got my ass whacked, as they say. And that sort of was really the catalyst that made me think, I'm not going to let this happen again to myself. And then as I heard more and more things going on about the same, I thought, I'm going to do something about this.
Okay.
This is how it began.
Now, we get a lot of calls about that particular Weybridge, but just before we get to calls, by the way, if you need to talk to Robert Bell from Highway Advocates, you've got to call through right now because we get very busy. 133353. If you have a legal question, ring now. 133353. Jess has cleared some lines so you'll get straight through. If it said closed, Why was there so much drama in court? If there's a sign saying it's closed, weren't you entitled to go past it?
Well, you would see, you would think so. And I mean, the original magistrate had trouble with it. It was an all day sort of hearing, and there was a bit of case law trotted out by the prosecution right at the last minute, and it was all over Red Rover.
It was closed.
No. There was no direction to stop because I never went in there to get one.
So even though it said closed, you had to pull in there?
Well, that's what they were starting to say. They're saying even though the weighbridge sign says closed, you're still required to enter the weighbridge. Now, that must be the only weighbridge in the country that requires you to enter a weighbridge when it's closed.
Okay, now this leads me to my next question. Why is life made so hard for an industry that we need so badly? We keep talking about this, that the trucking industry has people leaving left, right and centre. And it's really hard to get new people to want to do it. So therefore, the only alternative is to get people from overseas. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. There has been a lot of discussion about whether or not overseas drivers are as well trained as our drivers, and there needs to be something put in place. And we can have that discussion on another night. But if we want our supermarkets to continue to have groceries put on the shelves, if we continuously want petrol put under the ground at a service station, we're going to need trucks. Why is it, Rob, and I've been doing this for a little while here on the Triple M network, why are the lawmakers and the bureaucrats making it so tough to be a truckie? A loaded question, but can you answer it?
Oh, it's a loaded question. It's one that I've posed to myself just recently. We all know how tough it's been in the last 6 months, Luke. The COVID, you know, the checkpoints, the huge fines. If you haven't got a box ticked or there's something wrong with, you know, minor administrative thing wrong with your permit. And what we're finding now is with all the phone calls we're getting, I'm getting some phone calls, and it's sometimes it's hard to remain positive. I'm sort of saying to drivers, look, I can't emphasize with you anymore. This is just terrible. What's going on? And what we're finding now after now the borders are starting to open up a bit, life's starting to get slowly back to normal, what is normal, but normal as we know it. And now we're finding that the blitzes and the just onerous enforcement is going at a rate which I've never seen before. It's probably as bad as it ever was. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, thanks very much, Truckies of Australia, for putting that big effort in. Here's your present. Boom.
Yeah.
Have some pineapples.
Right? Thanks for all of that. Yeah. Why would you want to be a truckie? You're looking at leaving school. Maybe your dad did it. Maybe his dad did it. I know a lot of truckies drive trucks because it is in their blood. But what's the incentive? What is the incentive? If the law is jumping on you from left, right and centre, no wonder so many truckies are saying, I nearly swore then, saying this, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I did more or less the same thing, although I'm still working in the same sort of field. But I mean, it ties us to what happened today. I was in Wagga Court down in southern New South Wales today.
Actually, you got a good story about today.
Oh, it's a great one.
It is a great story. We'll come back and I'll let you tell that story and we'll take some calls. Okay, Rob?
No worries.
Okay, Robert Bell, the founder of Highway Advocates. They're there for you. 1-333-53. Call through right now. He's got a sympathetic ear. He's driven for years and he wants to help you out. If you've got a legal problem, a legal question, he's your man. This is The Night Shift on Triple M. The Night Shift here on the Triple M network. Luke Boner here. I'll talk to Miss Jess a little bit later on. She's got a funny story to tell you. A very funny story, but we'll do that after we finish talking to Robert Bell, the founder of Highway Advocates. We're here to help you, folks. 1-333-53. Now, before, Rob, we go to calls, you had a good win. It was yesterday.
Yesterday, down in the Riverina at Wagga Wagga, appeared for a truck driver had been charged with a critical fatigue breach. So he held, I think, about $17,500 maximum fine and 4 demerit points. So we put together our usual written submission, which is quite extensive by this point. Liaised extensively with the client, the defendant, and also his daughter, who was very helpful because the client was an older truck driver and hadn't exactly embraced the technology of email and stuff like that.
Well, hang on. So he didn't fill in his logbook correctly?
Well, he filled it. Yeah, he filled it in, but because of this 12-hour, the standard hour thing, he made this error where you've got to have too much rest, which means you then have too many breaks, which starts a 24-hour period, and he'd sort of basically committed the heinous crime of starting work too early one day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So that, we went to court, we put our written submissions in, and I turned up there by AVL. I didn't drive all the way down to Wagga, of course, but turned up there, and we had to get it adjourned. So we're there... You know, so let's call it 10:30 in the morning, and the magistrate said, "Oh, look, I'm gonna hold this over till 2 o'clock because the prosecution's not here. They haven't turned up."
Right? Really? Okay.
Yeah, which is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few phone calls made, etc., and he said, "We'll convene back at 2 o'clock," and it turns out that the prosecution had appeared by email, which was very unusual.
Mm.
So I said, "Well, Your Honour, they've emailed their submissions to the court, but they haven't emailed them to us."
Hmm.
Really? Right. So it was a pretty bad look for them. So eventually a prosecutor did show up on camera, and he had that look of resignation on in him. He just thought, I've got nothing to say, Your Honour. And so basically that truck driver walked away with a Section 10(1)(b) dismissal, no fine.
Good result. Good result. Highwayadvocates.com.au. There is a phone number, but we'll give it at the very end. We'll give you time to get a pen. If you're driving, you haven't got a pen, but we'll broadcast Robert's phone number a little bit later. Robert, you ready to talk to some folk who need some help?
Absolutely.
Let's go. We're going to Western Australia. Bill's at Geraldton. Bill, good morning to you. Robert's listening.
G'day, Luke. G'day, Robert.
G'day, Bill.
Yeah, I've lost my licence for the rest of my life. It's been taken off me in court a month ago.
Ouch.
Because the law over here, so it's if you've been done for drink driving, this is in the car, 3 times within 20 years, then you did lose your licence for the rest of your life. The first 2 times, stupidly, was 18 years ago and 15 years ago in Perth. The most recent one, I was fighting a fire on my property, and I've placed the car out on the highway with the hazards on to warn motorists of smoke coming past. The police officers pulled over and done a breath test, and I said, "Well, I'm not driving. I had no intentions of driving on the road." They said your car was outside your boundary, so we're going to do you drink driving. So I went to court, and they've taken my license off me for the rest of my life.
How many times have you been done DUI, did you say? Three?
3 times in 20 years.
And 3 times in 20 years. Do you drive for a living?
I've been a professional truck driver for close to 30 years.
And he's lost his livelihood 3 times. I don't know if there's going to be much sympathy out there in the courts, Robert, but you're the expert. You're the lawyer, Robert, paralegal. Robert Bell.
Yeah, look, we did a work licence sort of case in Queensland just recently where a driver was granted the right to drive for work only. But, Bill, it's a sad story, mate. I'll just listen, you know, I can hear it in your voice, mate. But, you know, you've made a couple of mistakes when you're younger. This one now, I hear your circumstances. Technically, you're out in a road-related area off the boundary of your properties. The coppers enforce it to the nth of the law. What I'll do for you, Bill, is I'm not around that particular bit of legislation in WA. I don't know whether there's an appeal against such a disqualification. I think there may be, but if you give us a call, the number's on our website. If you give us a call during business hours, give me a chance to have a look around that legislation, and we may be able to sort you out or point you in the right direction, mate.
So there might be hope that Bill, because he made a mistake many, many years ago, He may be able to get his license back, so at least he can drive for a living. Rob, you'll look into that.
Absolutely, I'm just sort of having a quick search at the Google University now, and it doesn't say anything about appeal. But for such a long suspension, which takes away your right to make any sort of living, I suspect there must be some form of appeal against it.
So, Bill. Highwayadvocates.com.au. The phone number is on the website. They'll try and help you out. Okay, buddy?
Advocates. Yeah, I mean, the first two drink drivings were 18 and 15 years ago. And
yeah, I've made a note of that, Bill. It's Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, as I said, there'll be people out there saying, oh, well, you know the law, blah, 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 right? But we all make mistakes. You've made maybe a couple more than most, but on the same token, that suspended from driving for the rest of your life. Really?
I mean, and because I was fighting a fire on the boundary in my property, mate. I had no intentions of driving on the road.
No, I get that, but yeah, the law will say, well, you're out in you're off your boundary, etc.
I'll get onto the website and I'll let somebody else get on the show, mate.
Absolutely, right, mate. Make sure you give us a call, though, mate. If we can't help you, we'll know someone who can.
Make sure you call them, Bill, okay?
And what's your name, Rob, is it?
Robert
it's
Bell.
Robert, yeah. That's me, mate, Robert.
Robert Bell. Okay, thanks, Robert, and thanks, Luke.
No worries at all, Bill. Make sure you call them. Highwayadvocates.com.au. The phone number is on the website. I know you haven't got pens with you right now. We will broadcast the number a little bit later on. So he's lost his right to make a living. He's made mistakes. One of them, he's fighting a fire on a property. Gee whiz, I hope you can help him out. 133353 is the telephone number. If you want to talk to Robert Bell, you can call through right now. Give the gift of health. Are you on your Nature B yet, Rob? Have I sent it to you?
Yeah. I've been taking it. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. One question I wanted to ask though, Luke, and it really struck me. You were talking about the Swift Grow, right?
Yeah.
And Joe and Emily and all that.
Isabella and Emily.
Who gets the job of counting the 2.4 million organisms?
Okay. That's Joe. Okay. He has a microscope. Okay. I'm absolutely bullshitting here. I'm moving you on. Thank you very much for that. SwiftGrow.com.au. I'm doing an ad for Nature B now. Robert, you've thrown me.
Oh, no.
Are you on your Nature B? What's it done for you? Tell me
It's put lead in my pencil.
That's it. It puts lead in your pencil. It's the gift of health and energy. Give it this Christmas. I love me power pollen. Robert Bell loves it. Rod Hanafy's on his power pollen. We're all on our power pollen. I've raised a family on it for 22 years next year. 22 years in February. I've been on my Nature B power pollen. 27 vitamins and aminos, 28 minerals. It all supports energy levels, your immune defenses, 6 months supply, $129.95 plus delivery. And Cookie, who is the boss of Nature B in Auckland, Cookie is going to throw in an extra month supply for free. And he'll also throw in the two honey pollen soaps, Power Pollen. Give it a go. It comes with a money-back guarantee. More energy, a better night's sleep, a boosted immune system, or your money back. Simple as that. About 98% of Power Pollen Nature B customers who have ordered through me here on the night shift, they've reordered. What does that tell you? It works. Powerpollen.com.au. Back in a sec. 133353 is the telephone number if you want to talk to Robert Bell from Highway Advocates. Lee's online. Where are you, Lee? There you are. Lee, hello.
How you going, Luke?
I'm going well. Robert's listening to you. What's up?
I've got one question to start off with. If I have had a stamp from the RMS in my book, like stamped and signed, and they've checked it, now if they've overlooked something, and then a police officer comes and checks my book, is he allowed to go back past that stamp?
The question is, yes, he is.
The
answer to the question is, however, if you've had your work diary checked, Lee, and the RMS officer stamped it, and he said you're good to go, well done, you're acting under, I guess, a mistaken but reasonable belief that you're doing everything correctly. This has happened to clients before, and when we've explained that to the magistrate, that the truck driver was told, you're all right to go, and then someone else goes back and finds something that the other guy had missed, that ended up in a dismissal. But technically, they can go back 6 years. So if you happen to be carrying 6 years' worth of work diaries around with you, they could go back for every one of them.
Right.
There's nothing to stop one authority, or even if it was the Transport for New South Wales and another Transport for New South Wales guy went back past the stamp, there's nothing to stop them doing that.
Right. That's what's happened. Like, I got pulled up in Condobolin on the 19th of last month, and the RMS New South Wales have stamped my book. He's checked it. Obviously, he didn't go back as far as what this police officer did. But I thought he was just chipping me on one thing. And what had happened was, I don't know whether I'd gone to bed thinking, oh, yeah, in November, this has got to be happening in November. This is going to be happening in November. Well, the next morning, I've put November in my book.
It was October.
Yes. Now, every page previous, every page after had correct date and all the rest of it. I thought he was just chipping me. But no, I receive a penalty notice for $172.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. And no, at the same time, he's gone back through my book and he tried showing me, and I'm just like, this just can't be possible. But he's trying to tell me that I'd driven over 16 hours. On a BFM. And I've looked at it, and the thing was, I was halfway between Mildura and South Australian border, and I broke down. I'd blown a water pump. I was on the side of the road for 16 and a half hours.
All right, Rob, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'd have to look at the work diaries, but what you're talking about in the first instance there, Lee, about the you've accidentally written down the wrong month because you're probably looking forward to Christmas or something, that's just a mistake. Could have easily been rectified, and I was just saying to Luke there before, and we were talking about it on the show last week, the age of discretion is gone. So he could have easily just said to you, or she could have said to you, look, just I can see what you've done there, just cross that out and put October and away you go. But no, it's got to be a $170 fine.
So what's your advice, Rob?
My advice is to give us a call in the morning. Give us a look at those work diary pages you're talking about. Take a picture or send them in, the 16 sort of hour thing where you're talking about, you're on the side of the road. We'll have a look at it and we'll give you some advice on it, mate.
Lee, was there another question?
He walked away with three infringements as well, which he sent to me in the mail, for $691. Three of them.
Lee, send them in, mate. Highway Advocates.
Highwayadvocates.com.au. Lee, did you say at the beginning you had two questions?
Yeah, well, this is part of the second one because two of them he's got down as maximum work time substantial risk on two of them. And then on the third one, minimal rest time.
Minimal rest time?
Six.
What? So
with
you've taken
substantial risk.
Look, it's a bit. I'm trying to picture what your work diary pages look like over the radio.
It's impossible.
Send them in, mate, and we'll have a look.
Lee, they'll do their best. So, highwayadvocates.com.au. The phone number's there, Lee. Ring it up. Leave a message if you do it tonight. They will get back to you. They want to try and help you out, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Good on you, Lee. Thanks for your call.
Look forward to talking to you, Lee.
Yeah, good on you, Lee. Please make sure you call them. Christian's in Bendigo. G'day, Christian.
How you going, mate?
Good, mate. Robert Bell's there from Highway Advocates. What's your question?
Yeah, Rob, it's a bit of a grey area. I've got three of my own trucks.
Hey, just before you carry on, mate, I love grey areas. Keep going.
Let's not go there, please, mate.
One of which is on mass management, we're in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that we run with, we cart asphalt, well, currently we're running up to they're putting a new bridge in at Echuca Mohammed across the border. We're carting the asphalt up there. Now, obviously PBS is they've got set routes because of the weight, axle weights and whatnot, bridges, etc. Mass management, I've got two truck and dogs and then a Flowcon. The Flowcon's on mass management. It can go, on mass management, you can go to 45 and a half ton. So my two truck and dogs can go 45 on standard registration.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 500 kilos heavier with the same axle configuration. Do you need to stick to certain routes or is it open slather with mass management?
Christian, the answer to that is, I'd have to look it up, mate. Every state's different. And the PBS adds a whole layer of complexity to which is already extremely complex. You know, you've got general mass, concessional mass, higher mass, and now you've got PBS on top of it. I'm not trying to sort of shut you down on your question by any means, but I'd have to look at what you've told us a whole heap of weights. I'd have to look at the actual legislation and give you a proper answer.
What you've just said, Christian, is going to involve a little bit of homework, and they're happy to do that. So, Christian, highwayadvocates.com.au, get the phone number, leave a message, they'll get back to you, okay?
Yeah, no worries. And just another one you might be able to clear up.
Righto.
Camera cars. This is not just for trucks, it's general.
Yep.
I was under the impression, like I said, we cart asphalt, so do a lot of roadworks and et cetera. There was a roadwork set up, this is a week ago. My old man drives one of the trucks. He's driven trucks 46 years.
Yep.
He rang me and he goes, I don't know what's going to happen here, but it just might clear something if it does end up turning out that way. But there was a roadwork set up. There's no roadworks happening in the area, so it's a due to rough surface.
Mm-hmm.
They've set road signs up in a 100-kilometre highway, mm-hmm. Drops it down to 80 and then 60. So where you come around a sweep and bend and up over a bit of a rise, the time you see that in a truck fully loaded, you see that. So he started to slow down. He reckons he was probably doing about 80 by the time he hit, because there's probably, there'd be
a couple hundred metres.
Well, can speed cameras, camera cars, sit in roadworks?
Yep.
They can.
And especially when they're privately owned, operated by a company called Serco, you've probably all heard of that. But they're given sort of granted authority to do whatever they like, more or less, park on footpaths, you know, medium strips, park on angles, all sorts of things. I'm not advocating for it. As Luke will testify, we can see each other here and like we're in the studio, and every time someone mentions camera cars, I develop this facial tic.
You do.
It triggers me, right?
It does.
And, the thing is, they can do it, mate. They're getting out there everywhere, as you know. In Victoria, they don't put signs up. That's the same in New South Wales now. So, especially in roadworks, you've got to be aware of it, because that's where they like to lurk. It's like shooting fish in a barrel, as they say.
Okay, Christian, thanks for your call, mate. But please, highwayadvocates.com.au, ring the number, leave a message. They will get back to you. So, a mobile speed camera van can park illegally. Okay, there you are. We had a lot of discussion with Rod Hanafy on Monday, Tuesday it was, about people being caught in roadworks. But more than that, it was people who aren't getting caught. And I have people who work in roadworks listening to me right now, listening to you. And their number one complaint is people ignoring the change speed zone directions and putting people's lives at risk. It's maybe not a topic for you, Rob, but I'm just saying we get a lot of feedback from people who work on roads. They're frustrated that people don't obey the speed limit signs.
One thing I'll say on that, though, is having driven trucks for a long time myself, I've seen the evolution of road workers as well. It used to be, you know, they used to be public servants or government, you know, work for the RTA, Vic Roads, whatever, but now that it's all been contracted out.
Mm.
And what I'm finding is they're given this authorised kind of delegated authority to set speed zones, to change lane roads. And this brings us to another case I did today. I forgot to mention this. So we had a client who contacted us from Victoria who was driving a B-double coming out of a fairly tight area around the Docklands area of Victoria onto Footscray Road. And road workers had coned off one side of a two-lane road. So this B-double's coming down there. Normally you'd be able to swing out because it's a bit of a tight left-hand corner, but these road workers had coned it off and obviously hadn't done a proper risk assessment. So when the B-double ran around the corner thinking, oh, this is the road as normal, he's clipped a power pole, right? So he cops a fine for careless driving.
Right.
So he comes to us, lovely man, comes to us and said, this is not fair. They coned the road off. I didn't know you couldn't get around the corner. It's a corner we get around. Anyway, long story cut short. he gave us a fine, said, I want to take this to court. So I tried to take it to court. It's a bit of a process. Ended up speaking to someone within the NHVR in Victoria who issued the fine. And they sort of said, yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I wish you'd have come to us before you'd taken it to court. But anyway, so I went to court, I was elected to court, and within about 3 days later, we got a letter back saying it's been withdrawn.
Right, so, another win.
So another win, yeah, yeah.
Another just win.
But yeah, road workers, as I'm saying, they, as that's evolved as well, I think a lot of the times now they're not applying enough skill or kind of knowledge or experience to what they're doing. A classic case a lot of truck drivers will know is you'll be coming over a crest of a hill or something and there'll be someone just standing there with a stop sign and there's just not been enough warning. And that can lead to absolute catastrophic consequences sometimes, and it does.
Okay, so there needs to be a bit more communication. So another topic for another day, unless, of course, you are a road worker and you'd like to retort. Tell us your side of the story. We'll come back in just a little while. It's Thursday morning. Highway Advocates Robert Bell, their founder, is here. But he's here for only a short time. If you want to talk to Rob, now is the time to ring or you'll miss out. You need some legal advice. He's here for you right now. 133353 is the telephone number. Back right after Powderfinger here on Triple M. That is Powderfinger here on the Night Shift with Luke Boner. I'll catch up with Miss Jess later. She's got a couple of funny stories to tell you. We'll also talk to Dr. Carl Krasinski. Are you across this rocket that was launched by NASA yesterday? In 10 months' time, they're going to launch a rocket from this satellite. And they're going to hit an asteroid, and they're hoping that asteroid will hit the one next to it, and they'll both have their trajectory changed. It's like a very, Robert Bell, I don't know if you're across this. Did you hear about this? So
I hadn't heard about it, but I did watch a movie similar to that once.
Armageddon.
Yeah,
it's sort of Armageddon-ish without Bruce Willis. So basically it's like an intergalactical space-age game of pool where the Q, which was launched from California yesterday, in 10 months' time, it then shoots at this asteroid, which is about as big as one of the pyramids. It will then hopefully knock the one next to it, which is about as big as the Eiffel Tower in circumference, and they'll both be knocked off trajectory. It's target practice.
Yeah, that's... Meanwhile, in Australia, there's still many places where you still can't get a decent mobile signal.
Exactly. You still can't get a decent...
They can't even build decent roads that last for a year.
But we can shoot a satellite.
We can build rockets. We're in the space game. That's the main thing. That's all that counts. Right?
That is the main thing. So long as we can shoot an asteroid 10 months away. But we can't talk to somebody from Burke. 133353. Kevin's online for you, Rob. Hang on, Kevin, stay there. Rob, you've done some quick research on the guy from Geraldton?
Yeah, I have, yeah. So basically what I'm looking at here, he must have been done three times for over 0.15 or something like the higher range. His options are that he can't apply to get that disqualification removed till he's been on it for at least 10 years. Ouch. However, he can apply for a work license, so to speak. So he can apply for what they call an extraordinary driver's license.
Okay, and if he contacts you, what's the number? We've had a break. What's the number?
It is 0491.
0491.
263-602.
0491-263-602 Highway Advocates.
And can I just stress, if I don't answer the call or you ring up and I don't answer, it's probably because I'm on the phone to someone else and I'll go to voicemail.
Leave a message.
Leave a message or send a text. If you need me to call, if you need me to speak to me urgently or you need to speak to me, send me a text and I'll get back to you.
Okay, but leave a message. Leave a message.
Leave a message.
0491-263-602. Okay, Kevin, you're on. Another caller from WA. Where in WA are you, Kevin?
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Where are you?
In WA.
Yeah, it's a big state, mate. Whereabouts?
In 2J.
In where?
2J, which is a farming area.
Yep.
All right, Kevin.
Well, I used to live in Bell Delvis, Kevin.
Yeah, many years ago, my brother-in-law got done so many times in three times in a certain amount of time for high range. Mm-hmm. He thought he'd lost his license for life. But after 7 years in the law over here, going back in that time, after 7 years, he got a thing in the mail to say he could reapply for it. But he had to come and do a driving test in Perth.
How many times had it been done, Kevin?
Do a written test.
Yeah, Kevin, how many times had he been done DUI?
Done three times.
Okay, that's the same as this bloke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the laws have changed, because laws have changed a bit.
I think it has changed, mate. It's for those technically minded people, it's under Section 63 of the Road Traffic Act. But says if you have three more counts of driving under the influence of alcohol and a reading in excess of 0.15, so it's a fairly high range reading, you for 10 years you're out. If you get three of them, you're out for 10 years. Oh, sorry, for life, sorry. But at the moment, you've got to wait 10 years before you can make an application to the district court, or more probably the Supreme Court if it's been imposed by a court, to have that life disqualification removed. It's as tough as they get, isn't it?
Well, it's got to be. I mean, if you have a record, three DUIs is, you know, you'd think. And we heard that the previous caller, he was trying to put a fire out in his property. He had no intention of going onto a main road. But you would think you would learn your lesson after your second.
Well, you probably would think so. You think you get caught once, right? Okay, it may be bad luck. You get caught twice. That's really bad luck, or I'm not really taking the message here. But three times is and look, I'm not here to pass judgment. But
no.
Most people would say, well,
yeah,
you can't
it.
Say you didn't know about it, yeah?
Kevin, thanks for your call.
Okay, you have a good morning. Bye for now.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye. 133353 is the telephone number. Shane, good day.
G'day.
Yeah, Shane, big voice. What's up?
Yeah, look, I was just driving on the Monash, going through a roadworks area, 40Ks. Mm-hmm. I'm driving a car, so you know. I had two semis fly past me, unloaded. And I had one guy for about 3Ks. I reckon he was under 2 metres from my arm of my car. And when he finally did pass me, he was full of steel leaves. I know they've got to do a job and all the rest, but, you know, they've four lanes down to two, so we've got construction workers everywhere. And, you know, these guys are just flying past me. When are they going to learn?
Well, for every horror truck story, mate, there'd be a horror car driver story doing the same thing. I'm not excusing that behaviour if that's actually what happened. But there's always two sides of the story. But, yeah, we all need at some stage to pull up our socks. The transport industry is not absolutely perfect. There's still some people within it that give the whole industry a bit of a bad name. And look, mate, I'm sorry that you had to experience that, but I could give you a whole... I could sit here for like hours telling you about drivers that have spoken about cars cutting in front of them, cars, you know, braking in front of them just because they feel like it. There's all sorts of things, but...
I think Rod Hanafy was telling us he had some figures in front of him, and I'll have to get those figures back, but whenever there is an accident involving a truck and the news cameras get there, they focus on the truck. But when a truck's involved in an accident, there is carnage. It's because they're big things. But the figures from Rod Hanafy were that the majority of accidents between a truck and a car, it's normally the car's fault. Now, I'll have to get those figures, but I hear what you're saying, Shane. Shane, I've got to leave you there, or I can keep you there because I've got to take a break. We are about to welcome a whole bunch of new WA stations to the program. We'll come back after this and we'll continue. Robert Bell from Highway Advocates, 133353. Good morning and welcome to the night shift. 133353 is the telephone number. Look, just for a few more minutes, I'll keep Robert Bell here. There's a stack of people online that want to talk to you, Robert. Robert is the founder of Highway Advocates. If you are a professional driver and you're in legal stump, Robert and his partner, Adam, and I believe that you've got other people now working with you. Your job is to try and... And if somebody's been fined unreasonably, if they look like losing their livelihood through demerits, if it's at all possible, your job is to help them out legally. Robert has been a driver for how many years?
More years than I care to remember, Luke.
Thanks
long
for that.
Long time.
Long time. And he's That's now right. a paralegal, and he's in the business of helping people get out of trouble if they deserve to get out of trouble. Now, just Shane, before you go, I didn't want you to think I'd cut you off, mate. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Shane, you were telling me during the break you have been in the industry.
Yeah, I actually work for a Australia-wide company that deals with fleet management, and which is actually a global conglomerate of transport.
Right.
So, yeah, I've grown up in the industry, uncles, aunties, my dad used to drive trucks. I remember being in the truck actually wiping out the awnings for the shops because guys cutting off in traffic. So, yeah, I can tell you a few horror stories as well.
One thing, Shane, yeah. There's one thing I'll say, though, Shane, just, and I know you know, you might have sounded a little bit sort of short with you there because it's a common thing, but I do say this to everyone who drives, but especially truck drivers, is that everyone's got a horror truck story. Judges and magistrates drive on the road, right?
Yeah.
And I say this, whenever you're in a rush and you're in a truck or we're talking about trucks in this show, and you might be getting a bit impatient, just remember that car in front of you could be someone's sister, grandchild, grandmother, brother, sister, etc. And they all, no one's gonna. When the issue of trucks or something comes up at a dinner party or in the judges' conference or whatever, they're not going to be sitting around saying how great the industry is and how sort of they're going to be thinking about the last negative kind of experience they had.
Yeah,
I'm trying to say to everyone who's driving, don't be that negative experience. Because it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Shane. Yeah. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it. Yeah. 133353. Is your name Manav?
Yes, that's right.
Manav, Robert Bell from Highway Advocates is on the other line. He's listening to you. 133353. What's up, Manav?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm really want to say thank you to you, Luke and Rob. Take the time to speak to me. Phil, he's been speaking to me about this highway shows on Triple M. what's happened is like in 2017, I got caught for drink driving in one of my friend's car in somewhere in Meetung or Gippsland area. And I went to courts and everything. And since that time, I was just really scared to get a license because there's so much of things. And because I'm from India, I don't know the full jurisdiction over here, how it works and everything. Now I've applied for my hazards and the practical test and everything. But I just don't know how to go about it. Like, I haven't taken the practical test because at the moment it's like you got to do like interlocker systems or something. Mm-hmm. So I just
what's your basic question for Rob?
The basic question is like, how do I overcome to get my license reinstated? Or because I was driving on the Indian license at that time,
yeah.
And now I'm not driving at all. Like my mate Phil, he drops me and picks me up, and I'm doing like the night shift now because due to COVID.
If I can just jump in there, mate. Best that you give me a call during working hours. I don't mind sitting down with you if I've got a spare minute, and we'll go through what you need to do. You're doing the right thing. You're trying to sort of make it all right. You're not jumping in and just sort of a knee-jerk reaction. You want to get it right. And if you give me a call during the day at your convenience, I'll have a look at what you need to do and hopefully point you in the right direction. How's that sound,
Manav?
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Okay, mate. Highwayadvocates.com.au 0491-263-602. Now, Al's on the Central Coast. G'day, Al.
Hey, how you going, mate? All right?
Yeah, we're both good. We've established that. How are you?
Good.
I'm great.
Okay, what's your question?
The reason I'm ringing is, not too long ago we had that long weekend, and the coppers said that they weren't going to enforce the double demerit.
Double demerit points, yep, in New South Wales. Yeah, I was a bit baffled by that, but anyway, yeah, you're right.
So anyway, listen, I'm coming home from work about 2:30 in the morning, and I roll through this roundabout, and next thing I see on the left on the footpath was the camera car, like a RAV4. Last minute, and then I see a glimpse of a reddish coloured flash. It was very dull, but I thought, hang on a minute, that could be a camera car. But anyway, what I did, it must have flashed me. Now, I was wondering whether that flashed me from the front, not from the rear. And then what I did, I went home and I reviewed the photograph of it. And what must happen is that camera must roll from the front to the midsection of your car and then get to your number plate at the back.
There's every possibility of that, Al, that the technology is growing all the time. But, I mean, what is it, a speed camera, or you didn't indicate coming off the roundabout, or what was...
How would a camera know if you're indicating? It would have been a speed camera.
It was a speed camera.
Of course, it was a speed camera. And were you over the? Were you speeding?
10 km over.
Yeah, that's gotcha. And tell me, did you get double demerit points?
Well, I don't know. That's theory. The fine's $288 plus 3 points.
Now, well, if it's 3 points, you probably didn't get double demerit points. You said it was 2:30 in the morning. So was it 2:30 in the morning of the morning after the long weekend, or?
No, no.
It was during the long weekend, was it? Or
yeah.
Al,
look.
Al, what's your question?
I just wanted to know whether that was a prop, Rob.
I'm sorry, he's breaking up. Can you understand what he's saying, Rob?
Only second every second.
Any second word. Say it again, Al. You're breaking up.
I think Rob would have been right. If it was double the merits, it'd be double this fine. This is 288.
If it was double the merits, you wouldn't double have lost just points. Three. You wouldn't have lost just three. So I'd say you were lucky. You admit you were going 10 over. You got caught by the camera. I'd cop it sweet.
Yeah, I will. And see how you were talking before, how they can park on footpaths and that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, you were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I know, but I learnt that tonight.
Yeah, I
okay.
Didn't know.
I'm allowed to learn something.
That's you told, Luke.
But coming to the question is, like, when I was a ranger at Manly, I used to come home and I'd see that speed camera up on that road. I can't think of the name.
Yeah, it's Warringah Road at Forestville.
That's right. Yeah,
on the left hand side if you're heading east.
Yep,
I know it very.
So is that the spot where them guys pulled up and started talking to the driver of the camera car and the other guy took his plate off?
I think so. I think so. That's right. They went up and started talking. And that's why the bloke doesn't sit in the van anymore. He goes up to the BP and has a coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
he doesn't want to sit in the van.
Yeah, they sped past about 10 times and it's flashing his own number plate.
So what? This is, I don't know whether I read this. Robert, so what's happened is there was this mobile speed camera on that particular piece of road I just described. And apparently two blokes went up and one bloke's talking to the driver while the other one's on his hands and knees taking off his rear number plate. They then affixed that number plate to the rear of their vehicle and went backwards and forwards on the speed camera with the speed camera's number plate attached to the back of the car. I don't know if that's an urban myth, but I did hear about that, yeah.
No, that's good. But, yeah, no, good to hear
you. We shouldn't be laughing. We don't encourage that behaviour here on the night shift.
No, of course not. No, responsible driving and that's easy all times.
So. Yeah.
They've got to have a bit of laughter every now and then. It's been too serious lately.
Yeah, all right. Good on you. Right.
Well, thanks, Luke and Rob and Jess.
It's okay.
Jess never gets thanked enough, does she, really?
Oh, she does.
It's a thankless job.
Mate, she gets paid. That's all she needs, okay? And she gets to work from home, and she gets to work with me. I mean, hello.
She needs to get paid more, really.
We should talk about practical... Thanks, Al. We should talk about practical jokes. The classic practical joke, and I still to this day don't know whether it's an urban myth or whether it happened, but allegedly back in the 70s, there was a group of, what did they used to call it, the DMR back then, the Department of Main Roads.
Department of Main Roads, yeah.
Yeah. And they were doing some work on Sydney Road, George Street, just up near Sydney University. So the students rang the police and said there's a whole bunch of university students dressed up as workmen and they're digging up the road, but it's a practical joke. They went down to the road workers and said, by the way, there's a group of university students dressed up as policemen coming around.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's an urban myth or not, but I've heard about it. Good on you, Al. Thanks for your call, mate. 133353. G'day, Gavin.
Yeah, here you go, mate.
Another call from WA, Rob.
It's the WA night.
It is the WA night. Gavin, what's up?
Oh, we're the only ones awake. But I've got an apprentice's dozen of trucks, and we have a few blokes driving them. And
tell me what's an apprentice's dozen? Because that one's gone past me. I know.
Baker's dozen.
Baker's dozen's 13.
Right,
yeah,
and a dozen. Yeah,
if you said
12.
Baker's, I would have known.
Yeah,
what
I knew
what
Baker's dozen was.
Yeah, and a dozen's 12.
That's right. A Baker's dozen's 13.
Yeah, well, an apprentice's can't count.
Oh,
I thought it was going there. Like, go get me the post. I'll, you know.
Yeah, go and get me a can of striped paint.
Yeah,
I've got 11 trucks, right?
Right.
And we get some blokes come in to work to drive them. And now
they don't drive themselves, do they?
No, well, they don't. And they're all licensed and whatnot, and they're all good blokes and all the rest
good
of it.
To hear it.
But at the end of the day, when I'm talking to the insurance company, they're telling me that if one of them blokes has an accident, even though he's fully licensed, and even if the person in the other vehicle is not licensed, if they've got any drugs in their system at all, I'm liable for it.
Yeah.
Now, I find it hard that, I mean, fair enough, we do drug tests and we do the rest of the crap, but, I mean, are we responsible all of the time for all of the people's actions that they do?
Should the employer be responsible for his employee's actions? It's a good question, Robert.
Well, there was a fairly big decision handed down in the Queensland District Court a few weeks ago, right? So a driver for a large multinational, a large company that operates all over Australia had been caught. He'd use the phone, his work had ring him, he picked up the phone and unfortunately crashed and rolled the vehicle and all that sort of thing. So that driver's now got a judgment of over $500,000 against him because the company he thought he was working for took him to court for the cost of the whole thing. Now, what you're now talking about is a very complex area of law. It talks about, you know, the vicarious responsibility of employers. It talks about baileys, sub-baileys. It's very, very complex. But to give you a less than complex answer, as an employer, you are vicariously responsible for just about every action of your employees.
So does this mean you've got to breathalyse your staff now before you let them behind the wheel of your truck?
Well, I'm not so sure about that. But if it varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but you're right. If one of your drivers had an accident and it was not their fault, but they were found to have, say, drugs in their system, that there'd be consequences.
Okay. Just let me jump in here. Years ago, when I worked for another radio network, I used to take home one of their promotional vehicles. Now, it was in my workplace agreement that if I broke the law, the radio station I worked for did not cover me in any way, shape, or form. So, if somebody is breaking the law, and if they're over the limit whilst driving one of Gavin's trucks, he wouldn't be liable if that was written into their workplace agreement, Rob, would it?
Well, that's what I mean. There's an added layer of complexity through workplace agreements, you know, insurance clauses, all that sort of thing. But it brings another question. We had a client, this is to do with insurance and a thing that's happening in the transport industry, and we had a client that had paid us money, wanted us to go to court. He'd been charged, you know, in New South Wales. So the money was in our trust account. We'd started work on it. Then he wrote back to us, said, oh, look, I forgot. I've got this insurance company that covers this. This insurance policy that covers this. So I want my money back. I said, okay, well, you know, That's the way it is. But anyway, but what it means is now insurance companies throughout Australia are now basically what appears to be insuring against illegality. So you can get an insurance policy to the transport company that insures you against, it'll pay your fines if you get caught. It'll pay for a lawyer to go to court.
Even if you're guilty?
Yeah, and it will pay, if the court issues a fine, that insurance policy will pay your fine. So that brings a really big question, right? So if you have companies that will rather spend money on insurance premiums than spending money on compliance and making their operation safer, it's like insuring. It's like if you're a bank robber, you could get insurance in case you got caught.
And that is an extreme example, but it's pretty right. I mean, every insurance policy that I've ever heard of, if covering drivers, if you break the law, if you're over the limit, for example, and you have an accident, you're not covered.
No, well, you're not. I mean, we've got another inquiry. We get a lot of civil inquiries that come to us, and we've got a barrister that works very closely. We just pass them off to him, and he handles them. That's his specialty. But we had a driver that was comprehensively insured in his car, and he had an accident where he was having a hypoglycemic sort of episode, a diabetes episode, and now the insurance company is wanting to get records going back from when he first bought the car, when he first started driving. It appears that they're trying to get out of paying the claim on that basis.
That's what insurance companies do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why when you fill out insurance policies on anything, you've got those pages of fine print and all those boxes to tick. If you don't understand it, take it to someone who does, because the consequences of not ticking a box that you don't understand or ticking a box and you don't quite understand it can cost you big time later on.
Gavin, does that sort of kind of answer your question? Not really.
Oh, yeah, no, it sort of does. But, okay, what's the next question? Right, how do we self-insure? How much money do I need to self-insure, say, an apprentice's dozen of trucks?
Well,
in the bank, trucks at the end of the day, I'm just saying, like, I pay probably 120 or 130 grand a year in insurance. Mm. And so it's... is that 130 grand a year better off going into an account where we can earn money off it and move forward that way, and will that cover my insurance?
It's a classic question, though, isn't it? I mean, I've said the same thing about...
Mate, it's an absolute joke.
Medical insurance, private health insurance.
We have that discussion all the time. Is it worth private health insurance? Do we put the money that we would put into premiums into a bank account or buy some cryptocurrency and have it earn some money?
That's only a decision you can make, mate. I reckon, if you're paying 120, 130 grand a year in insurance, I mean, how much would it cost to replace one truck if it was written off?
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, true. Yeah. But, I mean, can you insure against your own
I'll tell you what, there'll be someone in your position, Gavin, listening, that's been through this. We'll see if they ring in, okay?
All right, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Gavin.
Take care, mate.
Good luck to you, mate. Yeah. Bye-bye.
No worries, bye.
133353 is the telephone number. I've got a question for you, Rob.
Yeah, mate.
If you are insured against an act of God, but you're an atheist, are you covered? I'm just asking. It's a fair...
I don't know. I'll ask God.
It's a fair question. Back after this, The Night Shift, Triple M. 2.4 million soil microorganisms. Somebody has said 2.4 microorgasms.
Ouch.
No.
Hey, look, I just wanted
it's
to give you a little...
microorganisms.
Elicits a bit of insight into how we do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it probably sounds to most people like we're in the same room, we're in the same studio. Well, actually, we're not. But... we can see each other here on sort of the webcam. I can see Luke in the studio. He can see me, etc. Now, Luke was just... this is for the listeners. You're just sort of listening to this now, Luke. Luke was eating toast before, right? And I had what I would describe as a psychosomatic moment, because he was eating toast and I could smell toast.
Oh, that's spooky.
It is, isn't it? I'm serious.
That is spooky.
It is.
What's on my toast? I'll hold it.
I believe you've just got...
Nah, have a close look. Can you pick it? Okay, it's commonly known as the working man's pate or spreadable Devon.
Spreadable Devon or Spam?
It's Peck's paste.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. I used to like the... remember the anchovette?
The anchovette, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is the Peck's paste. This is the devil ham. This is fascinating stuff. Got a call. Manny wants to know, if the Weybridge Centre, the heavy vehicle checking centre, says closed, does that mean I can drive past it or not?
There's no actual direct answer for that. In most Weybridges, it means yes, you can drive past it. But in New South Wales, they call them heavy vehicle safety stations, and a lot of them have these, what they call way in motion technology, with these pads you drive over. Mm. So the actual weighbridge, what we conventionally call a weighbridge, which is the big building where they sit in and it's got the plate, that could be closed, but you still have to drive over that way in motion pad. But from my perspective, if there's a sign out at the entrance to the whole complex out in the road and it's illuminated, it says closed, then why would you enter?
Is that the same rule for every state?
Well, there's no rule that I can't find any law that says...
I'm giving you homework. Because you do absolutely nothing during the week. I want you to get the definitive answer. If the Weybridge says closed, can we go past it or not? That's your job, okay?
All right.
Okay, Luke's online. G'day, Luke.
G'day, Luke. How you going?
I'm very, very well. Robert Bell from Highway Advocates is listening. What's your problem?
Oh, matey, I actually wanted to thank the bloke. I called him a couple of weeks back, and he was really honest with me. I said to him, basically, I drive trucks for a living, but I was just helping out a mate. And, stupidly, I offered to drive when I could have just sat in the passenger. Anyway, long story short, Highway Patrol intercepted me and pulled me over and said that I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. I tried to tell the Highway Patrol officer that, mate, you can't not drive this car without the seatbelt because it's got one of those alarms fitted. And I don't know if you know that, but like in my missus' car, if you put something on the passenger seat, the thing just squeals off its head unless you've got the belt connected.
Yeah.
So I said, there's no way I could drive without that. And the Highway Patrol's at my door, and he let me know that everything's being recorded. And he sort of gives me the ultimatum to say, if I'm to tell the truth and admit that I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, that he would be more lenient. So here's a couple of minutes to think about that. And I said to him, well, I was wearing my seatbelt, so I'm definitely not going to say that to you.
Mm-hmm.
He's come back, and long story short, he said that I've asked him. I said, can I see the footage of me not wearing a seatbelt? And he said, no, I don't need to show you that. So I've spoken to you guys, and I spoke to my lawyer, and I was a bit shocked with the price that I received. And then when I spoke to Rob, he pretty much said to me that I'm getting a good deal. And he said to me that the Highway Patrol might not let me review the footage. But what ended up happening was I spoke to my lawyer, and obviously those things aren't for free. And they told me that I can do that on my own bat. So that's what I did. And I literally got to go to the police station and sat with their senior officer from the Highway Patrol. And we watched the footage, and clear as day, it was inconclusive. The footage from the drive from the police officer, his was clear as day, so he got our whole conversation. But the camera footage from the car, which is what I wanted to see originally, it just showed me in a truck. You couldn't even really tell, you know what I mean, who was driving it. So you definitely couldn't use that to say that I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. So yeah, I more just wanted to ring up to say thank you for his advice. And he also, when I said the price, I said, oh, mate, you know, $1,600, you know, it sounds like a lot. And he goes, mate, we're not going to do it any cheaper. And for a non-guilty plea, I think that's a pretty good deal. I don't know if he remembers me, but...
No, I remember the call, Luke. And so tell me just quickly, how what's happened? Has it been withdrawn? You're still going ahead with it? What's the result?
Yeah, so when I first spoke to you, I told you that my lawyer had already got it adjourned. And... Mm-hmm. It's funny that, but I got it adjourned the first time to seek the footage, and they said because of COVID we won't allow you to watch it. So when my lawyer got it re-adjourned, he got it. That's what I wanted to ask you. How come when I get it adjourned, a member from the public, they adjourned it for 2 weeks? When my lawyer adjourned it, they adjourned it till March next year. I was like, isn't that funny?
Got superpowers, mate.
Lawyers have superpowers, apparently. Don't know the answer to that, Luke, but hang on. If somebody says we've got footage of you doing something, are you entitled, Robert Bell, to say, I'd like to see that film?
Yeah. That's,
yeah. Discovery, you know, disclosure, all these sort of legal words I can trot out, like discovery, that's a good one. But, yeah, but they'll make it difficult. And this is what I've been saying to the whole industry. And you bring up a point there as well, Luke, is we're finding now, you know, we talk about don't pay a fine till you speak to us. And I'm just segueing here, but we're finding now that electing fines to go to court is getting increasingly difficult. The authorities are putting roadblocks up to that happening. And one of the roadblocks they do put up is every state has a different time limit for which you can elect to take a matter to court. So, Luke, I'll finish up your call now with this one, but it's a bit of a message for ourselves, but it's a bit, you rang up for a bit of shameless self-promotion anyway. But if you get a fine and you hang on to it and procrastinate and decide, you may find that it's too late to take it to court. And then you're stuck with it. So,
well, I acted on it as soon as I got it in the mail, but like that was out of my hands, COVID allowing me to go there and view the footage. But
yeah, no, I realise that. But yeah,
my lawyer also even said that they might make it a nightmare for me to go and view it, but my lawyer can. Then my lawyer said to me, well, it's going to cost you money for me to go and do it. Why don't you go and review the footage and we'll go from there? And the guy, the senior officer that let me review the footage, he literally said to me when we finished watching the footage, he said, well, you can't see nothing in that, can you, mate? It's his word against yours. That was what the highway patrol officer said to me. So yeah. I feel like you'd be mad not to.
All right, there you go. Interesting story. Good on you, Luke. Thank you for that.
I spoke to you, Luke. We both go from Manly, and I spoke to you when I used to do night road work. I spoke to you maybe 2 years ago. I don't know if you probably won't remember now, but we said that there was a certain player in the team that you weren't too friendly with.
Still, to this day, I won't follow Manly, and it's really tough for me because the Trbojevic brothers are local heroes. Tom went to school with my stepdaughter, Kelsey. Actually has been to our house when they were young. They went all through primary and high school together. And so, obviously, I'd love to support Manly, but there's one player there that shouldn't be in the team, and I can't bring it on myself to...
No. I'm going to send you a... I'm not sure if you are aware of it, but you can get video messages now from your favourite players wishing you whatever...
Yeah.
You know, obviously, the person that organises it for you can say what they want them to say. Mm. Anyway, well, I got one off... I got one off Tommy Turbo for my birthday.
How much does it cost?
I'm not sure, mate. I'm sure it would have been a couple of hundred, but it was excellent. And he sort of, it was. I say to everyone that I support, like just as a funny one-liner, you know, have my babies. And so my missus has tried to say that to him. You know, he's Tommy Turbo. She's tried to say for him to say that back to me. And I'll send it to you, mate. It's hard for me to explain it, but to hear him say to me, yeah, Luke, you can have my baby. Like, it sounded so weird to hear.
Celebrity messages. Everyone's doing it. Some people charge 50, some people charge 20. So you got a celebrity message.
Yeah, but Luke, the main reason I wanted to call you was...
Would you like me to do one for you?
No, mate.
No, fair enough.
What I want you to do is, I sent you an email a while back, and you can even listen to our conversation from 2 years ago. You made me a deal that one day when COVID's finished, I can come there and we can have a couple of games of pool. Now, I've got an ultimatum for you. I think that I can beat you in pool. And I really want to make my missus happy at the same time. You're telling me all about this.
Where are we going, Robert Bell?
I'm not sure about this.
Keep going.
Your Swift growth. I've sent you a challenge in an email to say,
yeah,
if I bet you in 3 games of pool,
yeah,
Swift growth. What do you reckon?
Oh.
Well, I mean,
that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, but I was a bit worried too. Yeah. Look,
I'm from Western Sydney, but don't hold that against me.
Look, it looks like I'll be sending you the Swift grow. We do have dress regulations and COVID regulations at my house. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'll send you some Swift grow anyway. Luke, would you like some?
I'll write songs about you one day, Luke. You're a champion.
Would you like some Swift grow?
I'd love some, mate.
Stay there. Some. Jess will get your details. I'll send you a liter of Swift grow. Okay.
You're a good man.
Okay. I'd rather do that than be absolutely demolished at pool again. I get that.
Just a quick one for you on the Manly thing, Lou.
Mm.
I grew up in Fairfield West in the western suburbs of Sydney back when it was more market gardens than anything else, right?
Mm.
Now, I went for Manly. I was a mad, you know, when I was a young boy, it was Manly for me.
And you were in fibro territory.
Yeah, fibro, corrugated fibro house. Yes. Right? So the guy across the road knew a couple of Manly players. They were good friends, and we knew them. So these Manly players come to visit him, and then we were playing cricket out in the front yard, and these two players come over and started playing cricket with us. Now, those two players were Graham Eady and Max Krillich.
No way.
Yep. Right?
They're one of the best captains Manly ever had, Max Krillich. He's a plumber by trade, and Graham Eady, well, next to Tommy Turbo, the best fullback Manly ever had.
So we were playing cricket.
Wombat was his nickname.
And Graham Eady, he took me a little cricket set, you know, the ones you used to get in that plastic packet with the stumps and all that all comes in there together, right?
Yes.
And he smashed one for six and broke me bat, right?
Yes.
And he said, "Oh, I'll get you another one. It's all right. Oh, it's okay." And said a couple of weeks later, he turns up. Remember the old grey nickel super scoop bats?
I do.
I got myself a grey nickel suit and they signed it for me.
Have you still got it?
No, I've lost it.
Oh, you idiot.
I know.
You.
No one believes me. I played cricket with Max, you know, Max Krillich and Graham Eady.
I believe you. I just wish you'd kept the cricket bat.
Yeah, me too. I could have some proof then, wouldn't I?
You would have some proof, but I believe you. We'll come back and take some more calls. Robert Bell, Highway Advocates. You're listening to The Night Shift on Triple M. You have an interesting story. You have a new staff member, Cody. This is an interesting story. Cody is a lawyer.
Yep. Well, she's not yet got a practicing certificate, but she's finished her law degree.
But guess what she used to do? Tell the folks what Cody used to do.
Cody was over in the US at Seattle playing professional women's gridiron.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I'm very impressed, and I'm actually a little bit scared of her.
Is it the proper gridiron, or was it the lingerie gridiron?
That's not appropriate, Luke.
That's serious. They have this lingerie gridiron.
What channel's it on?
I don't know. We've got a lock on that channel at our place. 1-3-3-3. I'm serious, though. 1-3-3-5-3. Richard's online. Hello, Richard.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Robert Bell's here from Highway Advocates.
Yeah, how you going, Rob?
I'll be needing him soon. Yeah, go.
Yeah, too easy. Well, this is a little bit of a funny one.
To the phone, I've just thought you stopped the truck. Unfortunately, I sympathised a lot with the previous caller, Luke, in regards to my situation. I don't know if you remember, but I talked to you. I actually took the state of Queensland all the way to the Supreme Court. But anyway, my situation that I'm thinking of is going to dramatically improve driver safety, as well as the massive shortage that we have of heavy vehicle drivers in Australia at the moment, confident as well. But my thing that I'm thinking of now is the chain of responsibility changes that were made about a year or two ago, I think it was, or maybe three. They brought the company more into line. Now, it's my experience that most of the dangerous stuff, breaches, driving heavy, unroadworthy vehicles, have basically been at the instruction of the company. So I noticed that Kevin Rudd's idea back in 2012 to put in a director number, which will follow that person for the rest of their life, is going to be implemented. So if you're a director of that company, and that's then tied to the ASICS register and all that other gear, would it be a good idea or a bad idea? Might improve safety, might also encourage drivers to rejoin the industry or even join the industry, to make those logbook fines that are about the owner's vehicle and company vehicles, I'm not talking anything criminal, but the fatigue brakes, the everything that's been forced upon drivers for a multitude of years, to have that put on the company and have the fines increase dramatically and have that ASIC's ability to be able to cancel the company when there's enough dramas.
Well, that's kind of already in place. The ASIC, like the director thing, hasn't, but I'll give you just a quick example for you and the listeners. We've got an existing client that's got another matter coming up whereby the driver was on his way across Australia, road train type thing, and lost the fuel cap. Yeah. So did what a lot of drivers do in that situation, put a bit of rag in there, a bit of string or elastic, you know, that'll do till I get a new cap.
Mm.
Well, he's been charged by the regulators in South Australia with... it says Section 89(1) Heavy Vehicle National Law makes an offence for a person to use or permit to be used on a road a heavy vehicle that is unsafe. And their view is that it's unsafe because a rag was placed in the fuel tank filler, and the use of the rag rendered the use of the heavy vehicle unsafe by creating the potential for the rag to ignite.
To ignite, right? Yeah.
All right. So
that's unlikely.
Very unlikely, especially with diesel. But You look at the maximum fine under the law, and it says $6,000. Right. So you look at that, okay, well, it's still pretty harsh, but, you know, driving an unsafe vehicle can be, you know, quite dangerous. But in the actual prosecution brief, it says the maximum penalty is $34,550. And magistrates have trouble with this when we go to court, because they're looking at the maximum penalty, say, $6,000, and then the prosecution will be saying we're seeking a penalty of you know, $35,000 or nearby. And that... what we're talking about there, mate, is there's another provision in the law, the Heavy Vehicle National Law, that says if there's not a separate penalty for a corporation, or meaning the owner of the truck, then the penalty will be five times the amount for an individual. So what you're talking about there about directors being responsible, if a driver, in this case, puts a bit of rag in a fuel tank, or if a driver does something... or the driver's told how to load the truck properly, but then decides it's easier to do it this way because it's quicker, and but that makes it the truck unloaded, any of those sort of things, is more and more we're seeing that it's actually the registered owner or operator of the vehicle that's being charged with the offence, even though they may be thousands of kilometres away and have no knowledge of what's happened because they can't be everywhere every single second of the day, and they're facing penalties of enormous amounts of money. And even the courts, they're not aware of this. It's the way the law's written now, and you're right, it's starting to swing around a little bit. Drivers are still being charged with work-dory offences, but these sorts of things are going after the owners of the trucks because the penalties are a lot higher.
Richard, I want to talk to you a little bit longer, but we're out of time. Can we call you back, and can you actually bring this up with Rod Hanafy, who is the president of the National Road Freighters Association? His segment's Tuesday morning. Can we talk then?
Yeah, I'll see how I go. My work hours are really strange, been in contact with Rod on Facebook.
Richard, give us a call. Give me a call. Our number's on the website. Give me a call if you get a chance in the day one time, mate. I think I'd like to have a bit of a chat.
Yeah, Richard, your idea needs further discussion, but we're out of time this morning, okay?
Yeah, too easy, guys. Well, thanks very much for your time, and thanks for having me on the show. Well,
it's a pleasure, Richard. Any time. 133353. Highwayadvocates.com.au 0491 263 602. We've got time for one more. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Robert Bell's there. What did you want to say?
Bit of information there. A bee works 24 hours a day. A bee's life is only 45 days. Righto? But anyway...
Hang on. Pull up. Just pull up. This is serious stuff. A bee what?
A bee works 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And a bee's life is only 45 days.
Yeah. But don't bees sleep once they go back into the hive, or does the queen just keep them going?
They just buzz all the time.
Really?
Buzzy bees.
Because of the power pollen.
Yeah.
Well, if you only live for 45 days, why would you want to waste time sleeping?
Well, I guess that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, Rob. It's Wayne here. Yes. I'd like to thank you for being getting that little pickle with the heavy vehicle regulator sorted out so quickly.
Oh, what a coincidence. It's Wayne who we helped with a fine, yeah. Lucas.
Oh, that's it. It's Wayne, right.
Yeah,
what are the odds of Wayne being able to ring in like this?
Yeah. So I won't take up too much of your time, but I'm just pleased we got it all sorted out. And to thank you for sorting the heavy vehicle regulator out.
Hey, all right, Wayne, on a scale of 1 to 10, Ryan, 10 being just splendiferous, being the best in the world, and 1 being just sort of average, right?
Yeah.
How would you rate your interaction with highway advocates, specifically me.
Wayne, is there any money being exchanged here for this? Is this cash?
No.
Is this cash for comment? What's the story, Wayne? Wayne's been on hold for 40 minutes.
Give us a number, Wayne, quick. A number, mate. Nine or ten would be good. But
nine.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne.
Oh, what?
Ten.
Yeah. See, you've always got room for improvement, Robert Bell, and this is motivational for you. You should look at Wayne's scoring and then think, how can I get that extra point? That's what you should be taking home, Robert Bell. Wayne, thanks for your call.
Yes, hey, thanks a lot. Talk to you. Bye.
See you, mate.
See you, Wayne. I'll tell you what, next time Wayne gets in a pickle, which he hope he doesn't, but after giving me a nine, I'll be sharpening my pencil.
Yeah. His bill's just gone up.
Yeah.
Wayne, you better stay in the straight and narrow, mate, because I'm telling you now, it's going to cost you an absolute flogger next time you're in trouble. Robert Bell, Highway Advocates, 0491 263 602. Well done for what you do, mate. It's good to have a bit of fun as well, but on the serious side, folks, if you get a fine, if you look like losing demerits and you really think you've been treated badly, get these people on the line. And there's no big bill. There's a payment plan if you want to take them on. 0491 263 602. It's Highway Advocates. Robert Bell, have a great week, buddy.
Thank you, mate. You too. And we'll talk again next week.
I bet. And I can look into the future. I reckon you're about to go and put some toast on. Correct?
Actually.
I
even
am.
Though the bread's a bit stale, I'll just
Doesn't
cut
matter.
Off the blue
Stale
blue bits.
Bread makes the best toast. Go away.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Robert Bell, 133353 is the telephone number. We're going to open our lines for general talkback. There's a lot to talk about this morning. I'll come back with Miss Jess and the Quickie in just a sec.